Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, and we are in the book of Revelation. We have taken some backward steps, if you will, to look at the Old Testament. And we've done this in great detail so that we could develop that proper perspective on the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is simply a compilation of all the unfulfilled prophecies that the prophets gave us and some of the covenants that were given by the Old Testament folks, the Jewish people, that knew what was going to happen in the future. Now, we are looking at a very specific prophecy called the 77s in Daniel chapter 9. And we saw that there were six things that that prophecy was trying to teach. One, finish the transgression. Two, make an end of sins. Three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in an age of righteousness. Five, to cause a cessation of prophecy. And six, to anoint the most holy place. Now, what I'm doing now is I'm looking at the starting point here for the 77s prophecy. And the verse that we are opening with today is Daniel 9, verse 25a. The text reads, "Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore." So the starting commandment here we see is in the first chapter, actually, of Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. We see that there's this Persian king, Artaxerxes Longimanus, who in March 14th of 1445 B.C. issues a decree where he sends back Nehemiah. He was real close to the king. And he comes to the king and says, "I feel real bad." And the king says, "Why do you feel so bad?" And he says, "My people, the city, it's terrible. It's all falling apart. We've been in captivity for 70 years. Of course, we came in under a previous government, under the Babylonians, and you took over for them. I'd just like to go back, and I would love to." He says, "Can I go back?" And the king says, "Sure, you can go back." And he tells them to go back and rebuild the city. Now, that's the starting event that came about on March the 14th of 445 B.C. This sends Nehemiah back to Jerusalem. That's the city to rebuild it. Now, as you recall, if you've been reading in Nehemiah at all, what a difficult time they had, how many factions there were, and people were raiding them, taking their supplies, and it was just a real hard time trying to get the city rebuilt and the temple. Now, the 77s are subdivided here. This 490 years that we've seen are subdivided into three units or categories. First two groups are found in Daniel 9:25b, and to build Jerusalem unto the anointed one, the prince, that's the Lord Jesus, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It shall be built again with street and moat, even in troublous times. So the 77s, or the 490 years, if you will, the first subdivision here begins with Nehemiah returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the city in a very difficult time, as the book of Nehemiah accounts for these events. It speaks of the time that it took for rebuilding the city to be completed as far as they could get. It took 49 years to finish, or 1-7. Now, the 62-7s, or the 434 years, is the second subdivision. That immediately begins after the first 7 years. There's no break there. There's no particular sign for the second subdivision to begin or start that. It just runs right into it. Now, you add the first 7 sevens, 49, to the next segment of 62 sevens, 434 4 years, and you get a total of 483 years that'll elapse from the decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus to the coming of Messiah the Prince. Now, remember in the Gospels that Jesus would not allow the population of Jerusalem to declare him king, the Mashiach Nagid, or Messiah the Prince, until the day we call Palm Sunday. Now, every time they got close to him, they wanted to hold him up on their shoulders like the guy in a Rose Bowl or something like that. And he left. He was gone. He just disappeared. He wouldn't let them do it. He knew that on the specific day he was going to allow them to do that was going to be in fulfillment of this prophecy. Now, I've got a chart. If you want to write or call me for the notes, I'd be happy to send these notes out to you. And I've got a chart that shows this. And it shows the commandment to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, the decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus to Messiah the Prince. And the segment of 62 weeks runs to April the 6th, 32 AD, and that's the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of the colt on what we call Palm Sunday or his triumphal entry. They were praying to him and singing, Hosanna, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. The prophecy is very, very exact. If you do the math, it works out to be 173,880 days. 173,880 days. So the first 483 years of the total 490 years comes to an end with the first coming of the Messiah. Now there's an interval that we're going to look at here between these two sections, between the second section and the third section. Now the last week, or 1-7, or 7 years, if you call the starting point was to rebuild Jerusalem, the 77s are divided into three segments, and there's a time interval that occurs between the second and the third segment. The first segment was 7 sevens, that's 49 years, and the second segment was 62 sevens, 434 years. So at the end of the second segment, we have the time interval, which we're going to talk about. Now, a signal to begin the last week. You know, there's no sign that was given which signaled the second segment of 62 weeks, the 434 years. There's a large time gap, though, between segment 2 and segment 3, which is the last segment, which is the last week, or 1-7, 7 years. I know it sounds a little confusing. That's why I explained this in detail in our last session. This gap between the segments necessitates a signal to initiate the third segment, so its beginning is going to be apparent. We're going to identify that signal that starts the last segment, which is the last seven, and it's a total of 7 years, and it's the same duration as the Great Tribulation. These 7 years, when you add to the first segment of 49 years and the second segment of 483 years, equals the total length of Daniel's prophecy. Let me read Daniel 9, verse 24 again. 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So there's a divided week here. The final seven-year segment is subdivided into two equal segments of 3.5 years each. Now, in both Daniel and Revelation, this is stated in three different ways. Sometimes it's 1,260 days, as in Revelation 12:6. Sometimes it's stated as 42 months, as in Revelation 11, verses 2 to 3. And sometimes it's stated as a time, times, and half a time, as in Daniel 7:25. But each statement is equal to 2 3.5-year periods comprising that 7-year period. So the last week of 7 years, which is the Great Tribulation, it starts with the signing of a covenant. Now, remember, what's a covenant, who signs it, and how do we know this? That's what I want to talk about now. The firm covenant. The starting point of the Great Tribulation begins with the signing of a covenant between the Jewish people and the Antichrist. This is the signal that begins the last seven of the 77s. Some believe that the rapture initiates the tribulation, but the Bible only teaches that the rapture precedes the tribulation. Doesn't initiate it. The rapture can happen at any time before the tribulation. We're not given the time gap between the rapture of the church and the start of the tribulation on God's prophetic horizon. The Bible assures us that we do not go through the tribulation. It just never tells us when the rapture is going to be. All we know is that it starts before, or that it is before the tribulation. The rapture does not start the tribulation. It's this 7-year covenant that starts the Great Tribulation. Now, let's look at the events between the 69th and the 70th week. 70th, sevens. There is a break time between the 69th and the 70th week. We're just not told how long this period lasts. Prior to the break in time, the second subdivision finishes up with Messiah's first coming, and the interlude of time begins. So at the end of the interlude, the last 7 years, or the 70th week, the 70th sevens, it's going to have a recognizable starting point. And so the last subdivision begins with the signing of the covenant between the Antichrist, who's the prince, and the Jews. And it's the signing of the covenant that ends the break in time and begins a 7-year tribulation. The church is also between the 69th and the 70th seven. So let's look at Daniel 9, verse 26, where the text says, "And after the 62 weeks, which is 62 weeks, shall the anointed one be cut off, and shall have nothing." In other words, the anointed one is the Lord Jesus, cut off in Jewish speak here, in Hebrew text, means to be killed and have nothing. And the people, here's a new thought now, of the prince that shall come, the different prince, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, we know that the people who destroyed the city and the sanctuary in 70 AD were the Romans, and this prince is going to come out of that type of governmental body. There aren't Romans anymore, but there sure are Western democracies and the Eastern communist countries that have succeeded Rome. All had imperialistic forms of government that came out of Rome. It's going to come out of that. And we've looked at that in general, but we're going to look at that now with a little bit more focus in a later lesson. There's really no way we can identify who this Antichrist is, but we have a lot of his characteristics, where he comes from, what he does, and so on. And the text says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and even unto the end shall be war. Desolations are determined." So the starting point for the 70th week, the covenant, is stated to be with the many, not with just many, but the many. That's the leadership of Israel, who's going to be empowered to sign this covenant. And the covenant is going to be made for 7 years, the last week, the 70th week of sevens. Now, let's look at Daniel 9, verse 27. "And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." Now, the verse states that he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. This, then, is the starting point of the 70th seven. Now, this is in reference to the nearest antecedent, which is the prince that shall come. The he who makes the covenant and the prince that shall come are one and the same person. It's the Antichrist. He's going to make a firm covenant. a tight deal, a pact or a treaty with the nation Israel. You know, the Hebrew text does not allow for an amendment to an existing covenant of any kind or a change to anything that they already have in place. It speaks specifically about a new covenant, an original one that contains strong guarantees. The next passage is going to make the nature of these guarantees quite clear, because the starting point of the tribulation is a covenant between the Jewish people and the Antichrist, and more specifically, it's between the Jewish leaders and the Antichrist. The many, again, is a reference to the Jewish leaders. If it were just many, it wouldn't be leaders, but the many refers to the leaders of the Jewish nation, and it's made for 7 years. Now, what we're going to look at now is the cessation of the sacrificial system, which is going to be re-implemented during the Great Tribulation. The verse we just read in Daniel 9:27 says that in the middle of the seven, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What that means is right in the middle of the 7 years, that's after the 3.5 years, or the 1260 days, or the 42 months, or halfway through the 7-year tribulation period, the Antichrist, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to go into the temple and he's going to do something that's referred to as an abomination to the Jews. Some think it's going to be like what Antiochus Epiphanes did in about 169 or 68 or so B.C., where he sacrificed a sow on the altar to the Greek god Jupiter, and that was an abomination. That may be what he does, but whatever it is that he does, he breaks the covenant, and he does it in such a way that they are completely offended. Not just partially, but completely offended. Now, we're going to touch on this in more detail when we get to that part of the Great Tribulation. He completely ruins any further sacrifices to go forward from there because the place is just impure. So there's going to be a forced cessation of the sacrificial system. The sacrificial system is going to play a key role during the Great Tribulation. Same point is made here in Revelation 11, verses 1 to 2. I want to talk for just a moment about idol worship. Because after the covenant is broken, the sacrificial system is stopped. Because the next line says, upon the wing of abominations shall come one that makes desolate. Now, this specifically refers to the Antichrist when he declares himself to be the true God. We get this from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 to 4. The Hebrew word wing refers to the pinnacle of the temple, and it also means an overspreading influence. The word abomination in Hebrew refers to an image or idol, meaning an image or idol of the Antichrist, and that's going to be an anathema to the Jews. It'll also be set up in the temple compound on the pinnacle of the temple, and that is the ruins of the temple. That's also spoken of in Daniel 12, verse 11, and Matthew 24, verse 15. But the image itself is spoken of in Revelation 13, verses 14 to 15. So the pinnacle of the temple is a very important theological spot because that's where Satan took Jesus right after his baptism, right to the pinnacle of the temple. It's one of the areas of temptation for him, so it's a very important area for the Jews. It's an important spot. Now, we saw in this text that I just read a concept called upon the wing of abomination shall come one that makes desolate. That means upon the overspreading influence of idol worship. The one who makes desolate is the Antichrist, who will cause desolations to fall upon the Jewish people. Now, some theologians think the Jewish people, but in either case, it's the Jewish people or the Antichrist. And the leaders of the Jewish people are an abomination when they do these things. Now, there's a completion of the tribulation here in these texts in Daniel, because the verses said that even unto the full end that determined shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. So the Hebrew phrase, unto the full end, means to complete, which is in reference to the last seven of the 70 sevens. The word decreed just means to be determined beforehand, and it was determined beforehand the exact length of the Great Tribulation, 7 years. Now, these events have been foretold long before they're ever going to happen. You know, God always works through his prophets to tell us what he's going to do. Remember that from Amos 3:7. This also means that the tribulation will not go a single second beyond what God has decreed it to last. The desolate can either be the Jewish people or the Antichrist or both. Now, there's a covenant here that we've talked about. We're going to look at it for just a few moments here before we close from God's viewpoint. Now, Daniel's the main point man here. Gabriel's telling him what's going to happen. And what we're going to see here is a passage in Isaiah that tells us about the covenant from God's perspective. Isaiah 28 is part of a 4-chapter section of Isaiah. It's called the Little Apocalypse. And in the 28th chapter, there's some discussion about this covenant. And it says that the way God would talk to the Jewish leaders, and that's the frame of reference we need here, it's God talking. He's saying this to the Jewish leaders at that time, where he says in Isaiah 28:14, "Wherefore, hear the word of Jehovah, ye scoffers that rule this people that are in Jerusalem." Now, God considers the rulers of Israel scoffers and mockers rather than true leaders, because they won't give him consideration that he is the actual leader. Isaiah 28:15 says, "Because ye have heard, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Now, here's the reason that they made the covenant. They were afraid of the Antichrist. They thought he was more powerful than God, and they wanted to protect themselves, so they made a deal with him, because they wanted to escape the overflowing scourge instead of turning to God in the first place. They realized that a military effort was planned against them, and they believed that a treaty was better than a relationship with God. You know, when we go back to Isaiah 7, we can see the same thing happening with King Ahaz, because Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Judah, Israel, south of him, were coming together with Ahaz, and they thought we're going to attack him. So instead of praying and trusting God, he goes to the Egyptians. They're worse. He says, "I need you to help me out with this problem over here. We got these two guys that are making a league with me." Now, this is the same thing that happens here. The same thing, the exact same thing. They go to the worst despot on the planet to try and make a deal with him. It's just like the European nations did with Adolf Hitler. They knew who he was. They knew what he was doing. But they went and they tried to make a deal with him. He just laughed at them. Look what Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord Jehovah, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste." And we know that's a reference to the Lord Jesus. But the reference here is more pointedly about trusting God, not trusting man. Don't trust your circumstances. Trust God for your circumstances. The lesson here is you got to keep your eyes focused on Christ no matter what's happening in our lives. It doesn't mean we ignore the circumstances. Of course not. It just means that we don't let them guide us. We don't get so wrapped up in the moment of things happening to us that we lose sight of who's really in control. That's what the Jews were doing. Rather, that's what the Jews will be doing, since this is still in the future. Few are going to trust God. Here Isaiah is referring to the many who refuse to enter into the covenant. In other words, the general population of the Jews is not going to do this. The leaders are going to do this, and the leaders are dragging the people down. Most of these people are going to begin to see what is happening, and they're going to begin to trust God. Because Isaiah 28, verses 17 to 22 says, "And I will make justice the line and righteousness the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding places." He's talking about the Great Tribulation here. "And your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. As often as it passes through, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall pass through, by day and by night, and it shall be naught but terror to understand the message." In other words, you're going to have to be real tough to live through what's taking place there. Then he goes on with a really interesting verse to talk about how they're going to feel. "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself up." In other words, the picture is that he's given is like you're trying to get a good night's sleep in a bed that's way too short, and you can't. You're constantly cold. You can't pull the covers up. You're going to pull one end up, and it's going to expose your feet on the other end. You're never going to get any rest. You're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to have problems. "For Jehovah will rise up as in Mount Perazim. He will be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act. Now, therefore, be not scoffers, lest your bonds be made strong, for a decree of destruction have I heard from the Lord Jehovah of hosts upon the whole earth." Now, we've got these two passages here that I'm going to close with that we've looked at. Daniel talking about the Great Tribulation, the 70 weeks, and the Isaiah passages talking about the actual things that are going to occur during that time. God bless you. I look forward to being with you in our next session.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.